Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm your host for today, Ursula Rudenberg. Thank you for listening in. I'll be here with engineer Mike Murphy and Anna Banana, who will be joining in a little bit later. Thanks for joining us. We're going to be focusing on students for the next hour, Iowa State students, during this time of intense community, some say crisis, some say process, but anyway, it's time to talk. So we hope you can stay with us. A quick look at the weather before we go to news. There's a chance of rain and thunderstorms later on today, but after that, not much to report other than the temperatures are dropping. Expect mostly sunny skies this week. It should be in the low 60s at the beginning of the week, but will go down into the 50s as the days progress. Most notably, a low of 34 is predicted on Thursday night. That's 34 degrees, which is just barely above freezing. Something to take note of. Maybe it's time to take in the house plants that have been having their summer vacation outside. Okay, here's Dennis Hart with a summary of Iowa news stories from last week.
Trump and Biden in a tight race in Iowa, the bitter battle over a new U.S. Supreme Court justice, and the ongoing coronavirus pandemic all made big news around the state of Iowa this past week. The latest Des Moines Register Mediacom Iowa poll showed that President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden are in a flat-out tie. Each had 47% of likely voters in Iowa. The poll showed that men overwhelmingly support Trump, women overwhelmingly support Biden. Election Day is November 3rd, and early voting in Iowa starts next Monday. Meanwhile, the Iowa poll showed several other things last week, including word that all four of Iowa's congressional races are close. Democrats hold the advantage in three of the four districts, the first, second, and third districts, while Republicans hold the advantage in the fourth congressional district. And the poll showed that the economy is the most important issue for 31% of likely Iowa voters, the highest percentage of any issue tested. Following the economy is law and order, with 18% of voters caring most for that issue. The coronavirus pandemic is the top issue for 15% of voters, followed by health care at 13%. And another Des Moines Register Iowa poll last week showed that more than half of all likely voters in the state plan to cast their ballots in person this November. But like almost everything else in these politically polarized times, there was a partisan split on this as well. Most Republicans plan to vote in person on Election Day, while most Democrats plan to vote early or absentee. And Iowa Secretary of State Paul Pate said last week that more than 572,000 Iowans have requested an absentee ballot for the upcoming election. County auditors will start sending out those ballots next Monday. Last Friday, Iowa lawmakers approved Pate's request to let counties start processing absentee ballots the Saturday before Election Day. The actual votes won't be counted until Election Day. Now for the battle over the future of the U.S. Supreme Court. This past Saturday, President Trump nominated Amy Coney Barrett to replace the late Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Both of Iowa's Republican U.S. Senators, Joni Ernst and Chuck Grassley, along with Republican Governor Kim Reynolds, praised the choice of Barrett. Earlier, Grassley had said he would not oppose holding hearings or taking a vote on Barrett's confirmation. As recently as 2 years ago, he had said he would not support confirmation of a Supreme Court nominee in a presidential election year. But he said circumstances are different now because the same party, the Republican Party, controls both the White House and the Senate. On the coronavirus front, the number of deaths and the number of confirmed cases continued to go up in Iowa last week. The number of deaths was more than 1,300 by yesterday. The number of confirmed cases was around 86,000. And another new Iowa poll last week showed that more Iowans now disapprove than approve of the way Governor Kim Reynolds has handled the coronavirus pandemic. 47% of Iowans do not approve of the job Reynolds has done, 44% do. That marked a 15 percentage point drop in Reynolds' pandemic approval rating since the June Iowa poll. Last Friday, the governor extended the closure of bars in Johnson and Story counties for another week to try to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Those closures will now last until at least next Sunday. Also last week, the Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division said it had filed complaints against about a dozen businesses across the state that serve alcoholic beverages, alleging that they violated coronavirus safety orders. And state health officials were said to be working to determine what's causing a spike in coronavirus cases in the northwest corner of the state. Sioux County was said to have a 14-day positivity rate of 30%. Two adjacent counties, Lyon and Osceola, had rates above 20%. Meanwhile, the White House Coronavirus Task Force said last week that leaders in Iowa should, in its words, dramatically increase testing at universities to quickly find and quarantine on-campus cases and prevent spread of the virus in surrounding communities. The report also urged the universities to implement wastewater surveillance to track community transmission and to transparently track coronavirus cases and publish them. Iowa State University publishes weekly updates on its website and three times a week on its public health data page. The University of Iowa shares self-reported cases three times a week on its website. And at Iowa State University last week, 63 more cases of the coronavirus were reported among students, faculty, and staff. That brought to 1,021 the number of students who had tested positive, along with 39 faculty and staff members. The university said the positivity rate was nearly 14%. And ISU reported that 14 students had been suspended for violating university policies regarding social gatherings. And Iowa State University announced that fans will be allowed inside Jack Trice Stadium for this coming Saturday's home football game against Oklahoma. 15,000 fans will be allowed inside, including 1,000 students. All seating will be assigned. Face coverings will be required inside the stadium, and no tailgating will be permitted. Meanwhile, Drake University warned students last week to avoid parties and follow coronavirus rules after 278 of its students wound up in quarantine or isolation. A large number of students who were in quarantine or isolation are off-campus residents of fraternity or sorority houses. Officials said they could trace a number of infections and many of the quarantine cases to two off-campus parties the week of September 7th. Drake has about 5,800 students. In Des Moines last week, the school board approved a hybrid learning model that could begin next month, and that officials said would bring the district into compliance with a state mandate that at least half of classes be held in person this fall. The district has been locked into a showdown with Governor Kim Reynolds since it started the school year fully online earlier this month. Des Moines was the only school district in the state to adopt a 100% online approach this fall. Meanwhile, there was word that the Iowa City School District planned to return to a hybrid learning model today after a decrease in coronavirus cases in Johnson County. The district serves more than 14,000 students. About 46% of the district's students have enrolled in an online-only learning program, meaning they will continue taking classes online while other students take part in the hybrid program. And in Ankeny, the school board voted to extend its hybrid learning model after the number of quarantined students in the district nearly quadrupled. The district had reported an additional 200 students and 22 staff members who needed to be quarantined. One more note about the coronavirus. The Iowa poll last week showed that 76% of Iowa adults wear face masks almost always, or most of the time, when they are in public places indoors. In other news last week, at least a dozen people were injured and one person was killed in a shooting at a club in Waterloo. There was also word that the lawyer representing the man accused of killing a Fort Dodge pastor last year said his client would use the insanity defense in his trial. Joshua Pendleton is charged with first-degree murder in the killing of Pastor Alan Henderson. Henderson was a longtime chaplain for Webster County Public Safety Agencies and for first responders. In Des Moines, protesters marched through the downtown area last Tuesday night, demanding that state leaders stop working with federal immigration officials and repeal legislation targeting sanctuary cities in the state. About 200 people took part in the march. Later in the week, another new Iowa poll showed that 58% of state residents think ongoing nationwide protests have been harmful to the cause of raising awareness of racial issues. In Davenport last week, word that the state of Iowa would temporarily remove the community school district superintendent and chief financial officer over concerns about the district's failure to address inequities in how minority students are disciplined. In Indianola last Monday night, the mayor resigned because of what he called the city council's intimidation and exclusivity. Kelly Shaw said the council had worked to diminish the responsibility of the mayor's role. He also said council members had micromanaged him. Also last week, a state audit showed that Governor Reynolds had appointed the director of the State Department of Corrections in a process that violated state law. Reynolds had named Beth Skinner as director last year, and the state Senate had approved it. But Iowa law requires that before any appointment, the Board of Corrections must recommend the names of people qualified for the position of director, and that did not occur. On the state jobless front last week, word that 6,601 people had filed new unemployment claims in Iowa. There was also a story that Greyhound regulators had revoked the licenses of two out-of-state dog owners after videos showed them training dogs using live rabbits as lures. That is banned. The revocations involved a man from Oklahoma and another one from Kansas. They will be barred for 5 years from racing dogs at the Iowa Greyhound Park in Dubuque. There was also word that more than half of Iowa's state park beaches had at least 1 week this summer when state officials warned against swimming there because of bacteria or toxins from blue-green algae. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources reported 118 swim advisories at the 39 state park beaches between Memorial Day and Labor Day. That's up from the 79 advisories issued last year. In Des Moines last week, developers of a downtown skyscraper project sued the city for $101 million, alleging that city officials breached their development agreement. The $170 million project is set to include a 40-story apartment and hotel tower, a theater and restaurant complex, and an 11-story parking garage at the corner of 5th and Walnut in Des Moines. And one more note, as you likely know, Iowa State University's football team got back into action this past Saturday after having the previous weekend off. And as you also likely know, the Cyclones defeated TCU in Texas 37-34. And that is your summary of another one of those consequential weeks of news from all around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, hitting the road now, but planning to show up again in this same virtual seat on Friday, when I'll have word on what makes news around Ames this week. Now, don't go away. The good folks here at KHOI have plenty more in store for you straight ahead, right here on Local Talk.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so many hours in a day. Hey, but you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you're doing fine. You can't be everything you wanna be before your time. Although it's so romantic on the borderline tonight, tonight. Too bad, but it's the life you lead. So ahead of yourself that you forgot what you need. Though you could see when you're wrong, you know you can't always see when you're right. You're right. You got your passion, you got your pride, but don't you know that only fools are satisfied? Dream on, but don't imagine they'll all come true. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? Slow down, you crazy child, and take the phone off the hook and disappear for a while. Can't afford to lose a day or two. Ooh, when will you realize Vienna waits for you? And you know that when the truth is told, that you can get what you want or you can just get old. You're gonna kick off before you even get halfway through. Ooh, why don't you realize Vienna waits for you? When will you realize Vienna waits for you?
And that, of course, is Billy Joel with Vienna. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for this hour, and this is Local Talk on KHOI, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. In Ames, the relationship between Iowa State students and other residents, loosely referred to as the community, is so obvious and regular that it goes without saying, and it's something that goes back to the very beginnings of this city. In fact, ISU students are really seen as part of the Ames community, and their absence during last spring and summer left really an unsettling emptiness, and the return this fall was a welcome return to life and energy in Ames. But 2020 is an unusual year, and as Dennis Hart reported, there's become a new focus on Iowa State and students because of the pandemic. When Iowa State opened classes during this fall, the worst fears of many were realized when reports of large groups of students were gathering for the usual parties at the beginning of the year, followed by national attention for Ames as the top hotspot for coronavirus infection. 14 students have been suspended for violation of safety requirements by the university, and as we just heard, the bars remain closed in Story County. This, of course, has made an impression on just about everyone, so it's a good time for communication. We're very appreciative to have Morgan Fritz, president of the student body government of Iowa State, with us. Welcome to Local Talk, Morgan.
Thanks, Ursula. I'm glad to be here.
Morgan, you're a political science major, and this is your senior year. Are you a senior or a junior?
This is my junior year, actually. Yep.
You also served as legislative ambassador and the Collegiate Pan-Hellenic Council Senator, so you have some experience with government. And when you were campaigning for the position of the president of the student body government, you made it clear that one of your motivations was that you really love Iowa State. So the reports must have hurt. How did the government of the student body feel they had to respond when these reports came out about the situation in Ames?
To me, it was really tough, seeing such a large case number because, when planning in the summer, I was on the academic continuity work group all summer long, working on making sure that classrooms were safe for students and that we were able to be back on campus having that in-person experience. And so for me to see the cases getting that, getting that high, it was tough because there was the fear and the threat of maybe having to go completely online and being sent home. And, every single student that I talked to over the summer wanted to be back in Ames and wanted to be doing classes and have some semblance of normalcy. So it was tough seeing that. And, we felt that we needed to respond by not losing our, I think that it was good how we waited it out. As we see, the case number has dropped significantly. So I'm glad that we waited it out. One of our main concerns was making sure that even if classes did go online, that students would be able to stay in Ames. I think that for my age category, there's a certain, there's different issues that my age category faces. Obviously, COVID-19 is a huge deal, and there are other factors at play as well. Mental health is a huge one. I read a study online that said over the period of spring and quarantine that a quarter of people my age considered suicide. So, I think that there are other and larger threats that my generation faces that are unique to our age category. And so those definitely needed to be taken into account when considering what the university did. Ultimately, I'm, glad that we are still here in person and doing some in-person classes.
So you're in favor of keeping the in-person classes going?
I am.
Yeah, that's what you meant when you said waiting it out?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's very strong evidence from the student health center, TLIN, from their team over there that the spread is not happening in classrooms. Very good mitigation measures were set up. Everyone is required to wear their masks in the classroom. People are sitting every other seat. We are 20 feet away from the professor. The first few rows are cleared out. And so there is strong evidence it's not happening there, but rather in off campus through people's personal choices.
You mentioned that these problems were not unanticipated, that you spent a lot of effort during the summer to try to prepare. You also wrote to the governor about this on behalf of the student body. Can you describe what you wrote, what led up to that?
Myself and Vice President Jacob Schrader and Director of Governmental Relations Cassie Bond and ex officio to the Ames City Council Nicole Whitlock, we all teamed up and we just wrote a letter requesting that cities be able to decide what they want to do for masks. We think that that is a local decision that should be made. Each city knows itself best. And so our thinking with that is, a college town has a unique situation, obviously, compared to other towns. And we felt that students really wanted to be back on campus to have some semblance of normalcy. And in order to do that and stay in Ames, we thought that was a necessary step You know, a lot of people's livelihoods depend on students being in Ames. The businesses, it's people's jobs, and, you know, that those things can't exist if people aren't, if students are not in Ames during the school year. And so we just really felt that it was a necessary step.
What was a necessary step?
A mask mandate in Ames. That each city be allowed to decide what they think is best for them.
Did you get a response from the governor's office when you did that?
We did not. Nope.
This is not really what you signed up for when you ran for president for student body government. How has this situation really changed the role you've had to play and what the student body government plays?
Yeah, I would say I have a lot more meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do have a lot of meetings that are, you know, related to COVID-19 and COVID-19 planning.
What are the meetings about?
The weekly academic continuity work group meetings, which were twice weekly, all summer long, just kind of working on what do those classrooms look like? How can we safely put students back into classrooms? That was the main one. And then, you know, random meetings pop up every now and then, just asking for student input on various policies and procedures and, you know, just informing us of what we need to know in order to get that out to students. There were various focus groups that I was able to put together to provide feedback to administration. So student input was included all the way along. There are a lot more meetings related to COVID-19, but it feels like COVID-19 can kind of, you know, become all-encompassing. It's all that we think about, but I'm still in this position to get other things done. And so I'm trying to work on those in order to fulfill other needs that the student body faces.
What else are you working on? I saw that carbon emission reduction was one of your issues. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. Correct. The university had put out a plan a few years ago that would reduce carbon emissions by 50% over the next 10 years. And we just voiced support for that program. That's something that we think is a good step in the right direction. But something else that we're working on are income share agreements. So those are a different way to pay for college education that is not the traditional grant or scholarship or private student loan. Instead, a student would receive an amount of funding for their education, and in return, they would pay a specified percentage of their future income for a specified number of years. And so that's something that we are currently in the process. We've created a policy proposal for it, and we are working with various departments to see, you know, what's the feasibility for that at Iowa State. That program does exist at a couple other universities. Utah has it. Purdue has one. And so for a lot of students, it can be a better alternative and, you know, a less expensive way to pay for college education than a private student loan.
How does that actually happen? Is that just university policy?
Yeah, as with any, you know, financial institution, there would probably need to be some protections put in place as well. So when considerations are being made and protections are for students, that would be possibly something that would have to go to the legislature.
But it also could be decided by Iowa State or the Board of Regents, presumably, right? Is there anything else that you're working on?
It's one of the big ones.
That's a big one. Yeah. Well, that's another very serious concern, right, that students have, as well as their health, is financial aspect to college.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. And, you know, I love the programs and the, you know, the opportunity of education that Iowa State has. And it's all about, you know, lowering the barriers of entry. If students aren't able to get to Iowa State in the first place, nothing that we do there matters. So any student that wants to be able to come to college should be able to.
Okay, so we have a few more questions. You've been in communication with students a lot during this time. I just want to take this opportunity to kind of pick your brain in terms of what student life is like right now. We know it's very different than usual. I kind of made you laugh during the pre-interview because I asked you a question that a lot of people have asked, which is, how does one date during the pandemic? How does that happen? Does it happen?
It's a bit tougher, you know, if not as many classes are in person and, you know, you can't smile at the person sitting next to you, it's a bit harder.
Yeah. How do you date without smiling?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with club meetings, a lot of them being online, not very many events happening on campus, it's a bit tougher. But I would say I do think more people are, you know, sitting outside, you know, it's safer to talk or, you know, chat with people outdoors. And so I do know someone that had a next door neighbor and they were both sitting outside and they met through that. So it's kind of interesting through, you know, social distance and sitting outdoors each other.
So dating is an outdoor activity right now.
Yeah, I guess so. Uh-huh. Lots of outdoor seating and
And there's a lot of hardships that go along right now with the pandemic. I'm wondering how that looks as a student. For those that are graduating, they may not be seeing a graduation ceremony. There's very limited sports, right? And online classes tend to be difficult. Social gatherings are difficult. So what do you feel that people are missing out on the most? What do you feel weighs on people the most in general? I know you really can't speak for everybody at Iowa State, but when you hear, what are the remarks that stick in your mind in terms of what people are experiencing?
I would say that, there's a range of things that people are experiencing. It's difficult to teach yourself 5 online classes and then do the homework for them. I've heard of people talking about how their home life and work life is blurred if they're sitting in their room all day doing schoolwork and then they're still there for their personal life. Students don't get the professional and networking connections that they usually would by not meeting with their professors or at career fairs or anything. A lot of students have lost hands-on and discussion-based classes that they usually would have taken. And, so kind of on the classes side, it's a lot more difficult to navigate. I think the faculty, though, are doing an amazing job of accommodating for classes and making sure that we still have a good experience in them. And then there's, more personal concerns of mental health issues and not wanting to get oneself or one's roommates sick or not being able to have a job if they get sick or if they were to have to be sent home. So there's just a range of issues. But I would say kind of the overarching theme of it is that college students are feeling, I think people are just feeling a bit slighted of just, this is not the experience that I, have experienced before if they're an upperclassman or the experience that I wanted if they're a freshman. And so it's just, nobody expected it. And I think it's okay. It's okay for people to feel that, but it's not a problem that's reserved to our generation. I think that's just life right now. That's everyone in the country that's probably feeling somewhat like that. So while our generation does face different issues of, not getting that typical college experience this year, it's not a problem that is isolated to just us.
Right. Do you find that people are heavily demoralized? Do you hear a lot of people feeling demoralized? The difficult thing, I think, for college students is this is really a moment where you're trying to start your life. Do you find that people feel demoralized by those circumstances?
I would say generally, yes. It's just, it's a bit different and it's hard and it's tough. But at the same time, I think that a lot of people and most people are really making the best of it. We are glad to be back in Ames and back on campus. I think that is some sense of normal. It's been very good for us, and that's been a determining factor in, our morale.
There's been a stereotype thrown around of that students don't care about the health of the community, or they don't care about getting sick. Would you say that's really a fair characterization of what you hear happening on campus?
By and large, I would say not particularly. So I think that there's a distinction of, getting oneself sick and getting somebody else sick. I feel a strong responsibility to not get sick because I don't want to give it to my roommates and have to put them out of school and, their activities. So I think that it's largely based upon not wanting to get other people sick. And what to do is, get an older person sick, that would be terrible. And so I think mm-hmm. that by and large, it's not wanting to get other people sick is the determining factor for students.
Have you been in communication with students that have become sick and had to be isolated?
Mm-hmm. I have talked to a few, yes.
How has that been for them?
Yeah, I've heard that it's a pretty tough experience, sitting in a room by yourself for, 10 to 14 days. But I mean, I don't think that that's a problem reserved to Iowa State. That, anyone that has to spend a room and a time in a room for 10 to 14 days yeah. by themselves is not going to have a good time.
Okay. We're speaking with Morgan Fritz, the president of the Iowa State student body. One more question, Morgan, before you go. And thank you so much for talking this through with us. You're part of the Greek system. You're in a sorority. Has the mm-hmm. pandemic affected the Greek system very much in terms of how they conduct their, because social life is a big part of the Greek system?
Yeah, it definitely has. So all of our chapter meetings are online. I am part of the Collegiate Panhellenic Council, who I previously used to represent as a senator, and they put a ban on any in-person events for the semester as of right now. We have a decreased capacity in our chapter facility. When I am not in my room, I'm wearing my mask around the rest of the house, whether that's in the kitchen or wherever, and so it's a lot different. We kind of stick to our smaller groups compared to usual and don't really have that many social events. But, we're trying to make things work virtually and socially distanced and with masks when possible.
Rush Week is at the beginning of the year or when people apply to be part of sororities or fraternities. How did that happen this year? Was that all online?
We did that entirely virtually this year. And that was also when, we had the derecho, and so the power did go out during one of our virtual recruitment sessions.
Oh, my goodness. Lots happening all at once, right?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Well, listen, thank you. Again, we're speaking with Morgan Fritz, president of the student body. Morgan, any last words?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. But yeah, I guess I would just like to say that, you know, students by and large, we are glad to be back in Ames. We're glad to have some, you know, bit of normalcy with in-person classes and being able to see small social groups. So I appreciate the work that, you know, the university has done, faculty have done, and even the city of Ames, you know, in making sure that we are still able to be here. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today. We are listening today to Iowa State University students, important voices to hear and understand during these times here in Ames, Iowa. Earlier in the month, three student groups, Iowa Student Action, Ames Black Lives Matter, and U Iowa Sick Out, organized a sick out in several locations in Iowa on September 15th to articulate that in-person classes are putting lives at risk. Alexa Rodriguez, one of the organizers, is a junior in political science and a member of Iowa Student Action. She spoke with me last week about the sick out, and I asked her why they organized it. Here's Alexa.
Send a message to the Board of Regents and university administrators that students, staff, faculty, and community members don't feel safe with the decision that they've made to bring students back on campus. And as we saw with the jump in cases in both Ames and Iowa City becoming the largest hotspots for COVID in the country, we just know that the decision they made was irresponsible because we knew that the decision to bring students back on campus was going to result in exactly this. And we also know that the university administrators and the Board of Regents, along with Governor Kim Reynolds, have been basing these decisions off profit motives instead of taking into consideration the safety and well-being of community members.
So you were one of the organizers of the sick out, but it was done through a number of groups. Who were the groups that organized the sick out?
Student Action, along with the Ames BLM.
That's the Black Lives Matter chapter here in Ames?
Yes. And with the initial University of Iowa sick out that happened on September 2nd.
Students from the University of Iowa who had organized the first sick out in Iowa City, they were the first students to do this. Is that right?
Yes. After seeing the University of Iowa organizers kind of pull off the sick out and have so many people express concerns, we decided, hey, like, this is something we want to bring to our campus and something that we want to participate in so that the administrators who keep saying and spinning the public narrative that students don't want to be online and that they actually want to stay at campus, is actually false. Students understand the risks associated with being on campus. We've personally seen how little the school has done, but also just even on an individual level, how many students are still not wearing masks, and it's unsafe. These conditions are just going to create an environment where we can't even get past COVID at this point.
Iowa Student Action is a national student group.
We're organized across the state, but also the country, to fight for free college, along several other issues. Specifically now in the pandemic, we have had organized actions against the Board of Regents, specifically calling for them to have classes online until it's safe, reimburse tuition, and also make sure that students and staff, faculty, and community members are taken into consideration during this pandemic, as we know that it's affecting every aspect of our lives economically, but also physically and emotionally. This has been a very tough period, and it's really disappointing to see our leaders continue to make the decisions based off of what their interests are in terms of profit and putting those needs before students, staff, and faculty, but also the community members that live where the universities exist.
So tell us, when you held the sick out here at Iowa State, what happened?
We came together, students, faculty, and staff, to make sure that the Regents knew that the decision to open up campus and bring students back was a disastrous decision for us. You know, this was us coming together as and collectively saying that it's not okay and we demand to be online. We actually had over 513 pledges. So the date, September 15th, consisted of students who had signed the pledge that was going to be shared with the Board of Regents and university administrators, saying that, you know, we wanted to go online until it's safe. It was a collaborative effort between our three organizations, but ultimately it resulted in over 500 people, students, staff, faculty, whatever administrative positions they hold, they all participated.
What were the actual actions taken by students and faculty here at Iowa State?
The purpose of the sick out was to call in sick on September 15th. We had over 500 people participate. I personally emailed my professors, called the university administrative numbers that were put out by our organization, and kind of a little guide on what to do to participate in the sick out that day. So again, it started with, in the morning, we shared out some infographics, having laid out numbers and emails of different administrative offices at each universities. And then students who had already pledged days before, or even, you know, that same morning, who wanted to be part of this, went through the steps along the day to call in sick at different classes, or even had faculty and staff who sent out emails or called themselves as well. We were continuously calling these offices throughout the day, but again, it also happened at the University of Northern Iowa. I believe there was 12 people who participated and said they called the head of their departments or administrators or even the Board of Regents. It was a mix of all numbers and all contact that were sent the same message saying, hey, I'm calling in sick today in support of the sick out, which is meant to push and demand that the administrators move to online instruction.
Can you give us a breakdown of how many people actually participated?
At the University of Iowa, 257 people participated. At Iowa State, we had 243. Uh-huh. 79% of undergraduate students who participated. We also had graduate student TAs. That number was around 10%. Staff was around 2%, and graduate students, 5%. Breakdown from 500 pledges, it's kind of like where those percentages fell. So it was a nice turnaround for something that we didn't expect to get that much traction in such a little time that we did organize the sick out.
Did you get a response from the Board of Regents or the university administration?
We did not, no. We obviously continue to see them press the narrative that students want to be back on campus, and it's worrisome because we know that as cases surge, we're going to get to another point in the semester where they're going to have to move us all online. And it's something that they could have done in the first place instead of risking the lives of the students and staff and community members here.
So what happens now? Are you planning to organize some more?
Yeah, I mean, I know for me personally, as we get even deeper into the semester, more students are worried about the fact that, you know, next semester is going to look very different. We already know that we are not going to be able to go on spring break. That doesn't mean that students won't be leaving and going back home. And, you know, the worry is still there that we're still spreading COVID, that we're still infecting community members and that people will still die. And so we're hoping, you know, that the university switches courses before it becomes even more of a threat. It's just not safe. I believe if the university doesn't move online anytime soon, I don't think that we'll be the only ones who will be calling the administration to move online, because as we've seen, even there's public school districts in the state who are challenging the very same order from the governor.
Do you have any in-person classes on campus that you are going to this semester?
I have one class that is in person that I was not able to take online because my instructor declined the option. So I have not personally attended the class since the first day, more because I'm scared to get sick. I just don't feel safe being on campus. The reason why I haven't gone back is because I remember the first day of classes, my professor walked in without a mask. And so it's very concerning that there's people in our community who aren't taking the necessary steps to make sure that we're not getting people sick, but it's also now affecting me.
You're a political science student here at Iowa State?
Yeah, but it's also now affecting how I'm going to do in that class, because if it's not offered online and I have to take it this semester to graduate, then, you know, it gets right in the way of my life.
Alexa, you're from Des Moines, right?
Yep, I am from Des Moines. I've already actually got very ill with COVID.
Did you get infected with COVID here in Ames?
Yeah, I was in Ames. It was towards the end of last semester.
Tell us what happened when you were infected.
It was horrible, is all I can say. I was actually hospitalized.
You were hospitalized here at Mary Greeley Hospital?
Yeah, I did. Because I do have asthma, I already knew from the beginning it was probably going to be really hard on me, which a lot of people don't, I think, still have a, like, believe that it's only older people who are affected and who are dying from COVID, and it's just not true. I've had a lot of family members and people that I know get sick, and it's just tragic because it didn't have to be this way. It could have, if the pandemic had been taken seriously by our administration, but also by every single leader in our country, whether from our governor to university administrators, we wouldn't be here, and the amount of people that have died wouldn't have died.
Alexa, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and feelings with us. I know it's reached you very personally.
I don't know what the long-term effects of getting sick are going to be. I know people who got COVID, and thankfully I was only sick for about weeks, but there are people who are sick for a very long time, for a couple months, and it's sad. I think that what I have heard from other people who have gotten sick is that your body will never be the same, and it's true. I haven't felt healthy since I got sick from COVID, and I think what I learned is that we really don't know what this virus is doing to us and doing to the community members that are getting sick. Yeah, I think it's very irresponsible to still not wear a mask despite it not being, you know, a mandate at this point. And it's very careless for us to continue to act like this isn't the serious health crisis that it's become and that it is.
Now, you've been in contact with students that are concerned about and helped you organize the sick out. Can you give us a general sense, if that's possible, here at Iowa State? Is there a lot of discussion and concern among students that you're aware of?
Yeah, I mean, I think because of where Iowa State is located, despite what leadership has looked like, you know, at the state level, for the most part, I feel like just the overall Ames community.